And amen. You know, I believe in the power of God. I believe that what God did on that first day at Pentecost and how God moved, that same Spirit is here today. And I believe He can still do things here today. And I believe He wants to do things here today. I believe that we're gonna end this service in a time of prayer and a time of just asking God to intervene and move in our lives. And if you're in a place today where you're going through challenges, you're facing opposition, you're facing trials, God wants to meet with you here today. I believe God wants to heal here today. I don't believe that was an isolated incident with Sharon. Sharon, thank you for sharing your testimony. I believe God still wants to do incredible stuff. But we've got to be in a place where we say, God, I need it. I need You. I need You more than anything else in my life. And we're going to pray into that. We started a new series. We've called it Roots and Branches. And we're talking about the importance of going deep into the things of God. And from that, we begin to branch out into the areas that God wants us to be involved in. Specifically, we want to talk about reaching out into our families and so forth. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but in order for a plant to grow, it's got to have proper nourishment. Did anybody know that? Yeah. So what we have here this morning is I've got a plant that we have in our backyard. It's not really in our backyard now because it's here. And it's not doing so good. As you can see, I'm not very good at taking care of stuff, I guess, because it's supposed to apparently have some leaves and some flowers and stuff like that on that. I've tried to water it. I don't have a green thumb like my wife does. See here, this is a plant that actually belongs to my wife. Please don't tell her, because I took it from the porch this morning. And actually, she went and looked out this morning and she said to Katrina, "Who stole my plant?" Guilty. So see, the difference is, if you can see it, is that it's doing quite well, thank you very much, because it's got the right nutrients, it's got the right nourishment, it's got the right TLC from the LOV of my life, and that would be, of course, my wife. But see, here's the thing, in order for a natural plant to grow, you know it's got to have the right nutrients. It's got to have the right nourishment, right? It's got to be cared for. In order for us to be growing in our faith and in our love for Jesus, we've got to have the right nutrients, the right nourishment, the right stuff going on down there so that we can become stronger in the things of God. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day that the church was born, as Pastor Les said earlier. The day that the power of God fell upon a group of people and the church began to flourish. And see, we need the church to flourish today. Are you with me? We need God's presence. We need God's power. We need God's nourishment to help not just the church to grow, but every one of us to grow. Vance Havner, he was an evangelist down in the States. He said something a while back. He said, "We are not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited with the Spirit of God." I like that. The only way we're going to make a difference in the world is if you and I are filled with the power and the combustion of the Holy Spirit, and we're moving forward in His strength. You're not going to make friends criticizing them. You're not going to make friends conforming. You're not going to make a difference conforming, but we will make a difference when we are ignited with the Spirit. Well, we want to look at that this morning. Take your Bibles with me to a very, 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 very well-known portion of Scripture found in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 13 here this morning. Acts 2, 1 to 13. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's Word here this morning? This is what it says. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard them speak in his own language. Utterly amazed, he said, are these men, are all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia. Let's see here, you read those ones that fast. Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declare the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Father, thank you. Thank you that what you did back then, it's available today. It's available here today. And God, I pray right now in Jesus' name for the moving of your Holy Spirit in a wonderful way, that you would ignite your church, that we would take that which we hear, we would apply it, and you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So what's required for us to get that power of the Holy Spirit to grow, for us to grow in our faith? Well, first of all, we got to wait. It says here in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Jesus told them back in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he says, look, I'm going up to my Father, and I want you to stay into the city until you have been clothed with that power from on high. I'm going away, boys, he says to them, but listen, I need you to stick around because God's got something for you. And they watched him ascend into heaven, and they thought, man, this is a good idea. Let's head down to Jerusalem. Let's spend some time. Let's pray this thing through. So away they went. They went into Jerusalem, and they began to pray. And I'm thinking it started strong. I'm thinking they were praying. They're going, God, we need your help. We need your help against the Romans that are coming against us. We need your help against all these religious leaders that are making fun of us. We need you. And they began to pray for their families. They began to pray for their church. They began to, well, the church wasn't born yet, began to pray for people around them. They began to pray for upcoming celebration. Oh, by the way, there was a celebration that was coming up. Right. The celebration, the Jewish people, they knew how to celebrate. Hallelujah. And they had a celebration that was coming up, which was called the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And it was coming up in just a little while. And it was a big deal. See, what happened, it was a feast that occurred 50 days after another feast. And what would happen is they would bring all the first fruits, and they would bring them into Jerusalem. And it was a great entourage that would bring in the first of the best of the fields. They would bring it in, and they would be celebrating along the way. There'd be dancing. There would be wine. It would be a fantastic time. And here these guys are sitting up in the upper room and thinking, this feast is coming up. I gotta prepare, God. Okay, let's make this thing happen. We need your power. And they waited, it says. And you know, I don't think they were waiting like, okay, God, we need you now. But the scripture says they were waiting in prayer. They were seeking God and saying, God, we need you. We need you. We need your strength. We need your intervention. And they prayed. And they prayed. And, I wonder how many of the original people that were there actually stuck around. Because, see, they didn't pray just for 1 hour or two or five or 10 or 1 or 2 days. They prayed for 10 days. Can you imagine a 10-day prayer meeting? How many of you would still be here? Don't put up your hand. I know I'd be going, okay, God, it's about time. But they didn't give up. They prayed through, and God intervened. I don't like to wait. I don't know how many of you are like me. I like to get things fast. So, couple days ago, what I did is I took a package of peas, and I planted some of these puppies into a pot. And this morning, Joan, my sister-in-law is here, I went to the pot to pick some peas, and there was nothing there. It's empty. There's peas in there, but there's nothing that's grown. And I thought, maybe if I microwave it. and put the pot in the microwave. You know, we like that kind of stuff. We want it fast. It doesn't work. How many of you know that if you put the seeds in a microwave, you're probably going to get popcorn, right? So I didn't go that way. But we want things fast. But God doesn't always work fast, does he? God takes his time, and he allows us to go through the process. Because, see, here's the thing. It's the process that builds us, that builds our faith, that strengthens our faith. If we carry on and we begin to seek after him. See, let me ask you something. How many of you have been waiting for something for a while? And you're going, God, I'm looking, I'm waiting, I expect a miracle. But you're sitting there and it's nothing's growing. See, here's the thing, folks. God's timing is always perfect. He knows what he's doing. He's not making you wait so that that he can sit back and watch you squirm like a worm. But he's making us wait because he's allowing us to develop that faith. The greatest miracles, the greatest revivals in history came when the church began to pray. And they didn't give up. The early church prayed for 10 straight days, and they didn't give up. And the Spirit of God came through. The Spirit of God came through, and it was an incredible birth of the church at that point in time. See, there's something awesome that happened there. There was the birth of the church, but something else that was really awesome. It says here, they were all together in one place. Do you get that? They were all together. There was no factions. There wasn't one little clique sitting over there and kind of huddling over there and another one over there and people separated. They were in one accord, not the car, but in one way of thinking, together in one place. It's interesting because if you look at history, we know the apostles were there. We know there were ladies there. Hallelujah for the ladies. Do we know that the 70 that Jesus sent out were most likely there? There were probably the seven deacons that were mentioned in Acts chapter 6, verse 5 that were there. You remember these guys. Here's what it says. It says in Acts chapter 6, verse 5 that there was Stephen, and then there was Philip and Prochorus, I can't say the name, Nicanor, there you go, Timon, Phineas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. There was different cultures and different religions. See, Nicholas was a Greek. And they were all together regardless of their backgrounds. How many of you know that God moves when there's unity in the church? When we are together in one accord, in one way of thinking, working together, praying together, asking God to move upon us as his people, as his believers. It's so incredibly important, folks, that we maintain unity. I love what it says in Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, if your brother sins against you, you know this, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won him over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others alongside so every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. In other words, if there is something, make it right so that there can be unity because that's when the Spirit of God begins to move. So what was required in order for the Spirit of God to empower his church? It had to start with us waiting together, for them waiting together. Secondly, the Spirit of God had to be welcomed. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. We have to welcome the Holy Spirit. We need to welcome, first of all, his power. In verse 2, it says this, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. It's interesting to know, and you probably know this, that the word Spirit, Holy Spirit, the word Spirit in the original language, both in Hebrew and Greek, is the Bible word wind. And I know you probably know that. And it's an incredible thing that happened here because the Holy Spirit showed himself, it says, with the sound of a violent wind. It wasn't that the Holy Spirit came and it was, can you hear that? It wasn't just that little whisper of a wind. It was violent. It was a breaking, wonderful, awesome wind that flooded that whole place. Here's the thing. Sometimes we sell God short, folks. For those that were sleeping, I just woke you up. Nahum 1 verse 5 says this: the mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence. Psalm 97 verse 5 says, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. God is a mighty, powerful God. He is a mighty, powerful God. And when he comes into our lives, he comes into our lives with power and with strength and with victory. And sometimes we sell God short. And we think that somehow, you know, God, you're just a wee bit too small for my situation. I obviously, I'm going to have to help you along, God, so that this thing can work out. You know what I'm talking about? And we feel sometimes, you know, God, I know you can answer this prayer, but you know what? You're probably really busy today, so let me help you out here. Are you kidding me? Do you really think God needs our help? Do you really think that God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, needs us to come beside him and say, okay, God, let me take this one for you. I know you got other things on your mind. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, you know this, all what? All power. All what? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, I've got all power. And he said, no, listen, go do your job. Go and make disciples. Go do what I've called you to do. We need to welcome his power into our lives. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. Let your power flood my life. Come and fill me with your presence. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. Could we say, and filled every individual here? And filled every individual here where you are seated this morning. God's power is available. You got to welcome it. God's power is available. We've got to welcome his presence. And it says here in verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. What an incredible picture that is. When you take time, see, I don't think we do service if we are not reading the Old Testament. If you take time and look at the Old Testament, what an incredible picture this is. See, because if you go way back to the Old Testament and you think about this guy named Moses, you've heard of him, right? Moses, a desert, leading people into the promised land. Before that time, he's walking around. He's way out in the middle of nowhere. And he comes upon a bush. You remember it? And he comes to this bush and it's burning. And he's going, this is wild. What's going on here? And he comes to this bush and he looks and it's fire, but it's not burning up. And what does God say to him at that time? He says, Moses, take off your shoes. Why? You're standing on holy ground. You're standing on holy ground. Remember that for a second. Now let's jump forward a number of years. Moses is now leading his people. He led them out of Egypt. He's walking through the desert. What's guiding them during the night? A pillar of fire guiding them through the night. Keep that in your mind. Jump forward now. You jump forward to another prophet by the name of Elijah. Elijah is sitting on a hill, standing on a hill. There is 450 prophets of Baal standing there. There's the Asherah prophets. There is the Israelites standing below. There are two altars sitting there. And the prophets of Baal are screaming out to Baal, Baal, send the fire, send the fire. You remember that? And they did it all day. No fire fell until Elijah says, okay, boys, just step aside here. Let the real man do the work. And he steps up to the altar. What does he do? He says, God, you're the God of all creation. You know what? They just need to be taught a lesson. Just send the fire. Whoosh! Down it comes. And the fire consumes the altar. And the enemy flees away while they were destroyed in the presence of the fire of God. And let me tell you something. When the power of God, the presence of God comes in our lives, he's going to make us holy. He's going to bring us to a place of holiness, a place where we are going to be separated. We say, God, I don't want anything to do with that sin stuff. I want to be clean before you. He's going to bring us to a place of guidance. He wants to guide you into those areas that will bring you strength and will bring you direction. He wants to be that guiding force, and he's going to destroy the enemy in your life. And that comes when we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place. Fill this atmosphere and fill me with more of you. See, here's the problem, folks. We've got too many defeated Christians running around. Are you hearing me? We've got too many defeated Christians that are running around and they're saying, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And there's nothing behind it. It must grieve the heart of God. And it's no wonder that the outside people that aren't Christ followers look at the church and go, really? Do I really want some of that? Why would I want that? See, folks, God has come to bring us power to do his work. You know, I think there's a lot of Christians that are like this. You see it? It's a bulb. It's a beautiful bulb. It's nice and round and it's got a gold tip. You could probably put a hole through this gold tip and wear it as a necklace. Wouldn't that be great? You could probably, if you're good enough, juggle with it. I won't do that because I know I'll break it. Like I did, I won't go there. But you know what? The bulb is nice. It's wonderful. But a bulb doesn't mean nothing until it goes into its source. Sorry, Tyler, I'm going to unplug your stuff here. You can plug it in later. Until you take and you plug it, you get back into the source and get that power that you need. You remember those lights? I'm going to be careful of my... See, there's lights down there. And once you plug the lights back into the source... Can't even see that, can you? There are lights on here, just believe me. Once you get that power, you become something very different, don't you? Once you get the power in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, we begin to become dangerous. And we begin to become shining bright for the presence of God. We become warm. Listen, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says this, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? He will give life. He will give life, life abundantly, more abundant life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. See, God wants to raise us up. God wants to give us life. God wants to enrich us with his presence. But we got to be plugged into the source. We got to be plugged into the source. Welcome his presence. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in here. Welcome, thirdly, his infilling. It says in verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. Jesus said back in verse 5 of Acts chapter 1, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, we did a baptism underneath this drum kit here. We had a few people that were baptized at that time. You remember it? You remember what happened when they went into the water and when they were immersed? When they were immersed in water, they were completely surrounded. I always tell people, plug your nose. Because it's not, you don't want the water just around, you just want the water around you, not in your nose and down your throat and in your lungs. It's a bad thing, okay? But they were completely surrounded. And in the same way as they are surrounded by water, when we go into the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit wants to be part of every single place in your life, surrounding us outside and inside, and in filling every part of your life. See, here's the thing. When you become a believer, when you've given your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes in. He's in there. But I like to equate it to driving a car. And I like to equate it to, I would have done this, I don't have two chairs. Imagine two chairs, and here's the driver. And he's driving along, and the Holy Spirit is sitting beside him. And he's whispering into his ear, now watch out for this. Make sure you go that direction. He's given us guidance and so forth. The day that I say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome, fill my life, I let go of the steering wheel. And I say, let's trade seats. Spirit, why don't you do the driving and allow you to have full control here. Fill every part. Take me where you want me to go, because it ain't my life. It belongs to you, and I want you to have full control in my life. We want the Holy Spirit's infilling in our lives, folks. We need the Holy Spirit's infilling in our lives. We need to be allowing him to take control. And the biggest place that we need his control is this thing here. You know why I think the Holy Spirit gave tongues or languages to the early church? Because he knew this is the hardest muscle in our body to control. Isn't that truth? Hey, you see, here's what it said. Go to the next slide, actually. I've got a picture up there that isn't very pleasant. That picture is my tongue. It's demented. Let's just be honest. It's awful. It's cracked. It's and see those white things below that? Yeah, that's my beard. They're white because I have three kids. Anyways, this is what it says. Luke chapter 3, verse 5, it says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. Not a pleasant thing, this tongue. And God says, man, I want to control it. I want to control what comes out of there. Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me so that my tongue will be used to glorify you. So my language would not be used in such a way that would be things that would upset you, but things that would worship and glorify you. And so God filled them with the Spirit of God. I've heard of stories, and you probably as well, where when people were filled with the Holy Spirit and God gave them a language, all of a sudden they're speaking in a language that other people understood. I love that. I love that. And I think that we are looking for the Holy Spirit, not so that we are getting a language that other people understand. I'll talk more about that in a second. But that God would control this part of our body so that what comes out of our mouth worships him. So the Holy Spirit comes through waiting, through welcoming, and lastly, it comes as we take it to the next step of witnessing. See, God doesn't give us the Holy Spirit so that we can speak really cool languages. God doesn't give us the Holy Spirit so that we look better as individuals. God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can be his witnesses, so that we can share the message of hope. Here's what it says in verse 5. Now they're staying in Jerusalem, all sorts of different people. And it says, when they were declaring, and they heard the languages that of their background, we heard them declaring the word of God in our own tongue. All of a sudden, they're hearing a message of hope coming forth from these people that had never spoken their language. You know, it's interesting. When I was younger, when I was a teenager, back in Chilliwack Church, I remember one time God gave me a message of tongues and interpretation, where God gives you a word and you pray out in a tongue and then it's interpreted. And I started praying out. I was young and I was scared. And I started praying out in tongues. And it's interesting, somebody came to me afterwards and said to me, do you know what language you were praying in? I said, how am I supposed to know what language? He says, well, you're actually praying in French. And I says, you gotta be kidding me. Now, are there any French people in here? See, let me, okay. No offense, okay? But I don't like French. I had to take French in high school, and I did really bad in French. I did so bad that the teacher actually felt sorry for me and gave me a C- instead of failing me. I did bad, and now I'm praying in French. I think God's got a sense of humor. Do you believe that? I think he gave it to me. He says, ha ha, Wes, let's just see. But God gave them a language that the other people understood. And God can do that for us here today. But it's not just a language that other people understand. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, if we speak in the tongues of men and angels. See, here's the thing. God wants to give us a language so that we can begin to worship him. Amen. regardless of what other people are seeing around us, that our expression is of praise to God. And they began to speak, and they began to speak the word of God in these languages. And it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? And Peter stood up with the 11, it says, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, and said, fellow Jews and all of you living in Jerusalem, let me explain this. Listen carefully to what I say. See, here's the thing. God wants to infill us, not just to give us a language, a prayer language. He wants to infill us so that we can present the gospel in clarity to people around us. A number of years ago, many years ago, when I was still living in Chilliwack, I was walking down the street and I met this native guy, young guy, and we began to talk. And I'm thinking, how do I relate to him about the things of God? And he began to tell me of how they... In their culture, they will take a person and they will tie him to a tree. And they'll make him sit there all night long so that they could get guidance from a spirit guide. And I thought, here's my moment. And I began to talk to him about the fact that Jesus went to a tree. And he was tied there and he hung there. So that we don't need to go through that same stuff, but so that we can experience the true guidance of the Holy Spirit. And this guy come up to me and he said to me, he tapped me on the heart and he said, I want you to know we're brothers. And I began to share the message of God. See, I believe the Holy Spirit fills us so that we can be more effective in sharing the truth of the gospel. Isn't that what Acts 1:8 says, right? You shall be my witnesses. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Surrey, well, Jerusalem, in all Judea and all BC, in Samaria, to those people that come in are from different cultures and from different religions and so forth. We don't avoid them. We embrace them and ask them, God, help us to speak to them, to be their witnesses, and to the ends of the earth. Does that mean everybody's going to accept you? No. They won't. Verse 13 says, some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Makes sense. It's the Feast of Weeks. There's going to be wine flowing. People are going to be drinking. But Peter says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. In our culture, that doesn't even matter. I've met people that are drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. But hopefully that's not always the case. And he says, this is not about a liquor. This is about the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, let me tell you something. When we step out in that power and we ask God to fill us, something awesome happens. Something incredible happens. That first Pentecost day, over 3,000 people were added to the church. What would we do with 3,000 people here today? Oh. God wants to fill you. I don't know where you're at. I'm going to call the worship team up here. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what challenges, what situations, what oppositions, what stuff you're going through. But God knows. God loves you so, so much. And God wants to intervene in your situation. And maybe you're sitting there and you go, man, I know about the Holy Spirit, but I haven't received that power. I feel like I'm so far from where I should be. God wants to meet you here today. I believe that. I believe in the presence of God. Anybody with me? That God can move here today. And see, here's what I'm going to ask in closing. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. And they're here to pray with you. Whatever the situation that you're going through, if you're going through stuff, you just need God's intervention. They want to pray for you. If you're saying, man, I need the Holy Spirit's power in my life, they want to pray for you. They want to anoint you with oil and pray the presence of God would anoint your life. But I'm going to ask you here this morning, can you forget about people around you? Hey, guess what? You don't have to. You have nothing for the rest of the afternoon. You got a day off tomorrow. It's all good. We can take some time to pray. Why don't we stand together? Father, we've done what we can here today. The rest is you.
Yes.
Spirit of God, I ask you now to do only what you can do right now in the lives of your people. Father, I pray against anything that would hinder your people today from receiving from you anything that would hinder. In Jesus' name, I pray against that. And I pray for boldness. And I pray for hunger. And I pray for a desire for you right now in Jesus' name. Why don't you come forward if you need prayer as we continue to worship the Lord.